Hare Krishna. Okay, so this morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's Madhya Leela, chapter 4, and it is the still on the pastime of Sri Madhavendra Puri. You know, Sri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. So okay, so there's we have two verses here. One I'll recite, and then the other one is on the board. Then we can all recite that together. So I'll do one of five, actually. And then we'll do one of six. Okay, so in this way, the deity worship in the temple was very gorgeously performed for 2 years. Then one day, Madhavendra Puri had a dream. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In his dream, Madhavendra Puri saw Gopal, who said, "My bodily temperature still has not decreased. Please bring sandalwood from the Malaya province and smear the pulp over my body to cool me." Purport. The deity of Gopal had been buried within the jungle for many years, and although he was installed and was offered thousands of pots of water, he still felt very hot. He therefore asked Madhavendra Puri to bring sandalwood from the Malaya province. Sandalwood produced in the Malaya is very popular. That province is situated in the Western Ghat, and the hill Nilagiri is sometimes known as Malaya Hill. The word Malayaja is used to indicate the sandalwood produced in Malaya province. Sometimes the word Malaya refers to the modern country of Malaysia. Formerly, this country also produced sandalwood, but now they have found it profitable to produce rubber trees. Although the Vedic culture was once prevalent in Malaysia, now all the inhabitants are Muslims, and the Vedic culture is now lost in Malaysia, Java, and Indonesia. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukum Karoti Vachalam Bhangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhube Bacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So begging permission from all the assembled Vaishnavas and all the Vaishnavas online, especially Prayojan Prabhu and what's his name? Gaura Krishna Prabhu, yeah, Gaura Krishna. See, it's called the old cells of Brian now. Yeah, and Bhakta Sam and we had Navadvip Chanda Panditji, okay. So, luckily, Maharaj is not sitting here today to make me more nervous, you know, but he's probably watching from upstairs. You know. So, anyway, I'm not qualified, but I'll make an attempt. Hare Krishna. So these two verses, the first one, it says, in this way, the deity worship in the temple was very gorgeously performed for 2 years. Then, one day, Madhavendra Puri had a dream. And then the second verse is, in this dream, Madhavendra Puri saw Gopal, who said, "My bodily temperature still has not decreased. Please bring sandalwood from the Malaya province and smear the pulp over my body to cool me." So Madhavendra Puri, he's a very, very exalted devotee. And we see that actually the Lord appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream 3 times. You know? So the first time he appeared to him, and the Lord said that, you know, "I've been kept in the ground, hidden within the bushes, and I'm feeling a lot of heat, and I'm very uncomfortable there. So please take me out from these bushes and the ground, and get the villagers to come and, you know, install me in the temple and worship. So Madhavendra Puri, the Lord came to him in a dream. So he did. He went and gathered all the villagers, and he established the temple of Gopal on Govardhan, and he used all the paraphernalia and bathed, like I said, thousands of pots of water in his bed, and lavishly worshipped Gopal, and they made so many wonderful offerings in the past verses. If you remember, I think in one day they got a massive festival together. So Jai Krishna Prabhu was saying that here it takes us 2 or 3 months to get the Janmashtami festival together. But Madhavendra Puri, with the help of the villagers, he did an incredible festival just in one day. And they prepared a sumptuous feast. And Madhavendra Puri also initiated many Brahmins there to continue the worship. And actually, the worship that we do in all our ISKCON temples all around the world is based on the standard that Madhavendra Puri had set at that time, because we're coming in the Gaudiya Madhav Sampradaya. And so Madhavendra Puri then, he had a second dream. And in this second dream, the Lord is saying to him that I'm still not feeling very cool. My body temperature is still very hot. So please go to the Malaya province and bring sandalwood pulp. So I see Sam Prabhu and Srinivas Prabhu and Gaur Krishna Prabhu have got sandalwood pulp. So maybe it's to keep them cool, you know, and that keep them calm, you know. Yeah. but this is sandalwood being offered to the Lord. So Madhavendra Puri, he had this dream. So the Gopal said, okay, in the dream, said, come, okay, go to Malaya province and get the sandalwood. So this Malaya province, it's actually, I was just calculating the distance, you know. So from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, actually what happened is the Malaya province is actually, it's called the Malaya Giri Hill. It's a forest and a hill, and there's lots of sandalwood trees there. And Madhavendra Puri actually went to Jagannath Puri. So he went to Jagannath Puri and he saw Lord Jagannath, and he danced in ecstasy, and he offered his prayers, and he asked the pujaris of the Jagannath temple to help him to get sandalwood pulp, to get sandalwood for his Gopal deity. He was very exalted Vaishnava, so the pujaris and many of the administrative authorities there in Jagannath Puri were very helpful. They helped to Madhavendra Puri to get a lot of sandalwood pulp, sandalwood and he got a small quantity of camphor as well. So sometimes they rub a little bit of camphor and then a large quantity. I think it was 82 pounds of sandalwood that he got, and a small quantity of camphor. And they also gave him two people to help him carry the load. You know, because 82 pounds is quite a lot to carry. And also during that time, it was 500 years ago, and Madhavendra Puri, he was, I don't know if he was as old as Prayojan, maybe a similar age. So Prabhupada says that he was elderly, so then it was difficult for him. But anyway, he traveled 940 miles from Vrindavan to Puri. So in those days, they didn't have any easy jets or any, you know, taxis and things. So to walk, it would have taken 12 to 14 days, you know, of walking. So then, if you consider having to walk back with 82 pounds of sandalwood, and then also at that time it was the Muslim rule in that region, so they would have given a lot of difficulty to Madhavendra Puri. and his associates, because the sandalwood is very kind of prized and restricted item. So there's so many check posts, you know. So anyway, the administrative authorities at Jagannath Puri, they gave him papers to say that this was authorized, and they were giving him these things. So then Madhavendra Puri was taking the sandalwood pulp, and but then Lord Gopal, he appeared to him again in a dream and said that it's a long way back to Vrindavan, 940 miles, it's a long way back. So Gopal said to Madhavendra Puri that why, instead of bringing all the sandalwood back and then making the pulp and putting on my body in Vrindavan, go to Remuna, which is a lot closer. Remuna was very, very close to Jagannath Puri, and said, if you go to Remuna, there's a deity of Gopinath. So you take this sandalwood and you make it into pulp, and then you put it on the Gopinath deity, and that will be as good as putting it on me. So the Lord was very, very kind. He was considering the difficulty that Madhavendra Puri would have in bringing the sandalwood back. So he said, oh, you go and put it on Gopinath deity. So then Madhavendra Puri and his two helpers who were with him, they went to Remuna, and they went to the famous Gopinath temple. And this famous Gopinath temple, he is known as Shir Chor Gopinath. You know? And Shir means it's a type of sweet rice, isn't it? Isn't that right? What do you think? Who's an expert on kheer here? Navadweep, you know? He's... huh? What is it? Arun, do you know what it is? Okay, so it's a type of sweet rice. So, but this particular type of sweet rice that's made for Gopinath is very, very famous. And it's said that it's not made anywhere else in the world, you know? So when Madhavendra Puri, he got to Gopinath temple, then, you know, he took darshan of the deities, and he danced, and he sang the glories of Gopinath, and he had his assistants started to make sandalwood paste for putting on the deity of Gopinath. And then he was asking the pujari, you know, what kind of preparations that they prepare for Gopinath, because he was thinking that I will, when I get back to Vrindavan for my Gopal deity, I will make these preparations. And he was thinking in his mind that, you know, if without asking, if I could get some of this kheer, this famous Gopinath kheer, then I could also make that for my Gopal deity in Vrindavan. So he didn't say that to the pujaris, but he just thought in his mind, if without asking, that comes. But then he thought, actually, that's not a very nice thing to do. You know, is the kheer is being offered to Gopinath, and I'm thinking, I want to know what it tastes like. You know, so of course he didn't say anything about the kheer to the pujari, but then he thought, actually, you know, that wasn't a very good thought. So he thought, I'm not a very good person. So then he left that place and he went away into the marketplace, which was empty, and he stayed overnight on an empty stall. You know, so that night the pujari, he cleared up the temple and then he locked up and then he went home and he was sleeping. And then Gopinath came to the pujari in a dream and said that I've kept a pot of sweet rice behind the curtain. You know? So you get up and go and get that pot of sweet rice, and then you take it to the marketplace and give it to my devotee, Madhavendra Puri. So the pujari, he was a bit startled. He was like, wow, you know. So he thought, well, I better take a bath before I go in, you know. So he took a bath and he opened up the temple and he was looking, and behind the curtain, sure enough, he found a pot of sweet rice. So from that time, the deity is called Kheer Chor Gopinath, because the pujari cleared everything away, but the deity hid the pot of sweet rice. You know? I think it was 11 pots or something like that was offered every evening. So one of the pots kept back. So then this pujari, he goes into the marketplace in the night time, and of course he doesn't know who Madhavendra Puri looks like. So he's shouting, "He whose name is Madhavendra Puri, please accept this sweet rice that is saved for you by, you know, from sent to you by from Gopinath. You know, Gopinath has personally sent this pot of sweet rice. He whose name is Madhavendra Puri, please come forward and take this sweet rice." So then Madhavendra Puri hears, oh, he hears someone shouting my name. So he comes and he says, "What is it?" And he said, "Oh, Gopinath." He said, "You are the most fortunate person." He says, "Because Lord Gopinath has personally stolen this sweet rice for you." So then he told me to bring it for you. So then Madhavendra Puri was in transcendental ecstasy, and he offered his respects to the pujari. And the pujari was like, you know, very happy. The pujari went away. Then Madhavendra Puri, he had the sweet rice, and he was in transcendental bliss. Like, I'm sure in about half an hour, the rubbery will be out, and I'm sure a few devotees will be very eager to follow in the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri, in that regard. So then Madhavendra Puri, he had the sweet rice, and it was completely like transcendental, out of this world. And then what he did was, because it was a clay pot, he kind of broke the clay pot, and every day he would take a little bit of the clay pot. So then Madhavendra Puri, he got the sandalwood, and he took it for Gopinath, and because Gopal did, he had told him just take it to Gopinath. So since then, in our Vaishnava Sampradaya, we've had the festival of Chandan Yatra. You know, so Chandan Yatra in Vrindavan, it lasts for 21 days. So here it started in, I think, last month on the 26th. Of course, in Jagannath Puri, they double it. They do it. It lasts for 42 days. You know? So they take Lord Jagannath out of the temple. And then they go to Narendra Sarovara, and they have a big, big festival, 21 days, you know, with all the sandalwood. And then they bring him back, and then they have another 21 days festival. So they like their festivals over there. And actually, the sandalwood, it's actually, to make a lot of sandalwood, it takes a bit of time and a bit of elbow grease, you know, or a bit of endeavor. So you see, in Vrindavan, at the Krishna Balaram temple before Chandan Yatra, have you ever been there during Chandan Yatra? Who's been there in Vrindavan during Chandan Yatra? Yeah. So did you help out with the Chandan? Yeah? Not this year. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So there's a whole team of devotees, and they're making Chandan, you know. In Mayapur, I helped out one time in Mayapur for making chandan. Like, so, and then they put this chandan on the deity, to, because at that time in the summer it's very, very hot, and it's to cool the deity. You know? They have the chandan and then a little bit of camphor. And there was, in relationship to that, I think, I don't know, many of you know, we have met Shruti Dharma's mother, Padmavati Mataji. Who's met Shruti Dharma's mother? Yeah, you've met. Yeah, you. She liked you a lot. You know? So yeah, so Shruti Prabhu, his mother was an amazing, wonderful devotee, and that was one of the reasons he didn't want to leave home to join the temple, you know? Because his home was a temple. You know, it was Krishna conscious, but Akhandadi had bigger plans for him. You know, so. So Padmavati Devi, she's actually a disciple of Shivram Maharaj. So before she took initiation, she was worshipping Radha Giridhari deities at home. Very beautiful Radha and Krishna deities she was worshipping. And then she took initiation, she took first initiation from Shivram Swami. And then Shivram Swami, he said, "Well, you know, you're just first initiated, so maybe it's not so good that you're just worshipping, you know, Radha and Krishna, because Radha and Krishna worship is very high standard. So maybe if you worship Gaur Nithai for now, until you're second initiated, that would probably be better." So he said, maybe you put your deities to rest, you know. So fine, she did that, she put her deities to rest. But then, just a little bit after that, Shiv Ram Maharaj, he had a dream where Radhika Giridhari came to him in a dream and said to him, what are you doing? You know, I said, they said, what are you doing? I said, we were being looked after so nicely, we were being worshipped so, you know, Padmavati Mataji was looking after us and caring for us and worshipping us so lovingly, you know, who are you to interfere? So Shiv Ram Maharaj said, okay. So then he contacted Shruti Prabhu and he said, okay, give the message to your mom to that, get the Giridhari back out the box and start worshipping them again. So, she used to make sandalwood pulp, and she used to put some saffron in it as well, you know. So she was, of course, she was an amazing, amazing devotee. She did so much, like, amazing service. So she also, when the devotees used to be in Wembley or in that area, we would just drop in, you know, Sankirtan devotees would drop in, and she would just cook a feast for them, you know. So it was like our center in Wembley. Did you ever drop in for prasad? You did, yeah. Okay. Yeah, also Jai Krishna's mother, you know. Jai Krishna's mother and Shruti Dhamma Prabhu's mother, they were like very powerful ladies, you know. So they would come here and do bhajans and they would do service and sometimes loads of devotees would pile into their houses without giving any warning, and they would cook a massive feast for them, you know, because they just wanted to serve the devotee. It was just ecstatic, you know. And then Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaji Ke, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ke, Shishi Gaura Nitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So when Padmavati Mataji, Shruti's mom, was getting very old, so she wasn't able to sit down on the floor and do worship of Radha Gokulananda here. So then she asked, could we have a small table, you know? So then somehow or other they talked to Maharaj, and then Shruti Prabhu, they arranged something. So she continued worshipping. So in South India, there's a place called Vishakhapatnam. Have you been there? Yeah? Okay. Anybody else have been to Vishakhapatnam? No? Okay. So there's, of course, in South India, there are many, many temples, many temples. I think in 1987, there were six of us, who did it. We were brahmacharis then. We did the whole tour of South India. We traveled to so many temples on the night buses, you know. It was like quite amazing. Jai Krishna was one of them devotees that was there, you can ask him. So there's a famous temple of Sri Simhachalam, a Nrsingadev temple. Have you been to that one? No? Okay. Who's been? Yeah, you've been, okay. When did you go? Yeah, not the one in Germany. There's one in Germany as well, and there is a Nrsingadev deity. But this one's near Vishakhapatnam in South India. Huh? That's it, yeah. That's what I was saying, like, because Lord Nrsingadev was getting very angry, they had to put chandan, and you've got a lot of chandan on your forehead to keep you calm, yeah. So actually, it's Vishakhapatnam. Near there, there's a Simhachalam, it's the deity of Lord Nrsingadev, and he's very powerful. And it said that at that place, when Lord Nrsingadev appeared, he was very, very angry, you know, very, very angry. He wanted to rip Hiranyakashipu to bits. And so what they do is every day of the year they grind sandalwood paste, and they put layers and layers and layers of sandalwood paste to keep Lord Nrsingadev cool, because he's in a very angry mood. But on one day, on Akshaya Tritiya day, they break open the sandalwood. So that's the one day where you can actually get his darshan without all the sandalwood. So if you happen to go that day, then you're very fortunate. And what they do is the sandalwood, people just take that little bit, and that's the Mahaprasad, you know. So one day I was in the reception, and some Western guests came, four or five Western guests, and they came, and I was just speaking to them, and they said their first time they've come to Bhaktivedanta Manor, you know. So I said, okay, great. And I just kind of like welcomed them, and I asked them where they're from, and then I just started to tell them that a little bit about the temple, about George Harrison donated the building and Swami Prabhupada. And then I brought them in here, and then I was telling them all about the deities and everything, and they were asking, oh, why do you offer food, you know? Why do you offer food like that? And I said, well, actually, in India, for thousands of years, this is the mode of worship, you know, we dress deities nicely, we offer incense and lamps and flowers, and we offer food. And we said, actually, God doesn't need anything from us. Whatever we have is being supplied by him anyway. But if we offer it to him with devotion, then he accepts it, you know? So one of the ladies, she became very kind of emotional. She became tearful. She said, oh, that's such beautiful. It's so beautiful that you're doing that with, you know, you're offering to him. So I gave the example, like, if if a father gives some money to his son, you know, and he goes to the shop and he buys a bag of sweets, you know, and then on the way back, he thinks, rather than me have all the sweets, let me open the bag and give the first one to my dad. And dad says, oh, his dad's pleased, you know, it's nice. He managed to restrain his senses till he got back and he offered me the first one. But the father is not, you know, I mean, he could buy the whole sweet shop if he wanted to. But he says, oh, you know, he's offering it to me, so although I gave him the money to buy the sweets. So like that, everything that we have is coming from Krishna anyway. So the lady was very impressed. And then we just turned around to go out. We were going to go to Prabhupada's rooms upstairs, and then suddenly one of them said, oh, what's that? You know, what's that up there? You know, the picture of Lord Nrsingadev ripping Hiranyakashipu, you know. So these Western guests, you know. So then I said to them, you see that guy on the lap there? I said, that was the last guy that refused to give a donation. Then they were like, no, they weren't reaching for their wallets, no. So no, I said, I'm only joking. I said, this young boy here, he's only 5 years old, you know, and this demon, he was trying to kill him, you know, and the Lord, he has so much love for his devotee that he appeared in a very angry form, and I said, let me give you an example. I said, if some man is coming to attack your grandson, what would you do to him? And the man said, I would rip him apart. I said, this is exactly what's happening. So then they were okay with it. It's not a problem. So there's a beautiful deity of Lord Nrsingadev, and the sandalwood pulp is being put onto the Lord there. And actually our method of worship, like you see here, the deities are so beautiful, you know. In fact, every day, many congregation members, they are contacting us, and they're saying, you know, although they can't come to the temple, like yesterday I was just speaking to one family on the phone, and they were saying that, oh, we're desperate to come and get darshan. You know, because then before you could just come anytime you wanted, and it would sometimes you take it for granted. They're saying, like, you know, when the pictures are put online, they're just like dying to see, and then they're looking at every single detail, and they said the deities are looking more and more beautiful every day, you know. And yeah, that's what they're saying, and they're saying, you guys, he said, you are so fortunate, you know, because you're locked down with Radha Gokulananda, you know, and Sitaram, Lakshman Hanuman, and Gonitai, and Prabhupada, and all the cows, and, you know, in a beautiful place. And I said, yeah, we've got a very big task to do. We have to make sure that none of the maha goes to waste, you know. So the boys really have to pull their weight, you know, and the girls as well, you know. So they're thinking like these guys, you know. You know, we're stuck at home and we can't come to a temple, and these guys are living it up. But anyway, I said, you know, well, you know, I said, soon, you know, you'll be able to come. I said, but also in your home, when you're praying to Radha Gokulananda, the Lord is right there, he's accepting your prayers and your service. So in our ISKCON temples, the standard of deity worship is really, really impressive. It's really wonderful. And this is originally Madhavendra Puri who has set up that standard, you know, and it's been coming down. And with Srila Prabhupada has established that in the same line. So, you know, those of you that travel to many, many different temples, maybe in the UK or other places. Some temples, they really worship with devotion, and it's really, really amazing. But, you know, like some like temples I've been to when in the early days we were traveling. I remember we were in Loughborough. We were doing a big... we were traveling on the Juggernaut lorry. It was a 40-foot truck trailer, you know. It was Lord Chaitanya's palace on wheels. And so we went to Loughborough, and the Hindu temple in Loughborough, they said that we could just take over their temple and do a big festival for 2 days. So we did door to door all over Loughborough, and we invited lots of people to come, and we did like, you know, big kirtans and dramas and cook prasadam, and the deities, we also got to dress the deities there and everything. And because before that, the deities were nice, but they looked very sad, they looked very neglected, you know? So this man came, that was the so-called pujari, and he got a pint of milk, you know, in a glass bottle with a top, and he just put it there. Okay, Krishna, you open it yourself, you know. It's like, and there was a box of Quality Street sweets, you know. So here, that's your offering, you know. So it wasn't like, you know, they didn't go to the trouble to go and, like, you know, we have 6 offerings a day, you know, and so many things. It was just like, and then in some temples, it was like, it's like a lock-up temple, and the deities are not so nicely looked after. And actually, the deities look sad quite often. They look sad. So when you come and see the deities that, you know, really being looked after so lovingly, and every minute detail is being taken care of, and Krishna reciprocates, you know. I remember in 1981, we were in Leicester. We were staying at the Cromford Street Hindu Mandir in Highfields. You know where Highfields is, yeah? Srinivas, yeah? So it was quite a run down place. It's called Cromford Street. We used to call it Crumford, you know. It was crumbling, you know. So anyway, in the morning we'd get, have mangal aarti in the temple room there, because we didn't have any ISKCON temple there in Leicester at that time. And Pranabandhu was there, Dwagapuri, Atmanivedana Maharaj, 8 to 10 of us were there. And then this old man used to come every morning, about 6 o'clock, and we'd be chanting japa there, and he'd come and he'd bring like a pint of milk for the deities. Now, this elderly gentleman, I'm sure he had a lot of devotion. He was very nice, you know. He used to come regular every day, but Pranabandhu, he used to joke around a lot. So he said, "Oh, here comes Krishna's milkshake," you know, because this man had a bit of shake in his hand, you know. He used to say, "Here comes Krishna's milkshake," you know. So it was like, so he would joke around. So it was like, but the pujari, that old lady, she was very devoted, you know. Although the place wasn't so clean and everything, but she was doing her best. But we see, like, you know, our deity worship, we go to any ISKCON temple around the world, it's like, wow, so amazing, you know. So clean, so nice, so they make so much endeavor to do all the worship of the deities and everything. So let's have a look here. Okay, so there's a verse that Madhavendra Puri, he recited at the very end of his life, and this verse is actually glorifying the Lord, and it's actually taken from like the gopis and Radharani, their feeling of separation from Krishna. So it goes like this. Ai dina dayadra nata he mathura nata kadava loka se ridhayam tava loka kataram daita brahmayati kim karma karomi. He says, "O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now?" So he was reciting this because he's feeling separation from the Lord. So it's explained that one who hears this narration of Madhavendra Puri with the Gopal and Gopinath deities and all the pastimes with the sandalwood and the sweet rice and everything. So it's explained at the end of this chapter that one who hears this narration with faith and devotion attains the treasure of love of Godhead at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So that's a powerful benediction, a very, very, very powerful benediction. And then they finish it off with Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara As Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das, praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy. Krishna Das Goswami, he narrates Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I think there was one beautiful song that I was just looking at, and I'll maybe recite a couple of the verses and read the translation, and I'll stop there. And then if any of you have any comments, questions or corrections, then you can add. Some of you may know it. Radha Krishna Pranamor Yugala Kishor Jivane Marane Gati Aro Nahimor Kalindira Kule Keli Kadambera Vana Ratana Bedira Upara Bosa Bodhui Jana Shama Gori Angedi Bo Chua Chander Ganda Chamara Dulai Bo Kabe Heri Mukha Chandra. So the translation is, the divine couple Shishi Radha and Krishna are my life and soul, and in life or death I have no other refuge but them. Radha Krishna Pranamor Yugala Kishore. So in a forest of small kadamba trees on the bank of the Jamuna, I will seat the divine couple on a throne made of brilliant jewels. And this is by Narottam Das Thakur. I will anoint their dark and fair forms with sandalwood paste. Sandalwood paste anointed with chua, and I will fan them with a chamra whisk. Oh, when will I behold their moon-like faces? After stringing together garlands of malati flowers, I will place them around their necks, and I will offer tambula scented with camphor to their lotus mouths. With the permission of the shakis, headed by Lalita and Vishakha, I will serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And Narottam Das, the servant of the servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, longs for this service to the divine couple. So it's mentioned there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'll just finish this one thing because I'm just remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we were doing this Gauranga campaign in Scotland. So in Glasgow, I was distributing some books, and this kind of fanatical Christian came, and he was telling me, he said, you're from the devil, you're going to hell. He said, so he was trying to interfere and telling people, don't go near him, he's from the devil. And that. So he was breaking up the sale. So he was doing that for 15, 20 minutes. So I was like, oh God, what do we do, But then I just said to him, I said, can you say Gauranga? And he said, no, I'm not going to say Gauranga. I said, oh, you just said it. Then he said, oh, what will happen to me now? I said, it's too late now. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, there's nothing I can do to stop it now. He said, but what will happen? I said, now you'll just have to wait and see. So he looked really, really worried, and then he walked off. So he probably went to his minister and he said, they got me to say Gauranga. And the minister said, look, you're saying it again. So anyway, I was distributing books, and this kind of fanatical guy was disturbing the book distribution. So I was wondering what to do. So I just asked him to shout Gauranga. But anyway, Lord Gauranga got rid of him. But he was very worried. He was wondering, what's he started now? What will be the result of this? I said, oh, there's nothing I can do now. It's finished. It'll just have to take its natural course now. Okay, Hare Krishna. So any questions, any comments or corrections? Antaranga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the wonderful class. One question is that Krishna many times communicates with us through dreams, yeah, as you mentioned. So do you have any reflections which dreams are like, okay, these are bona fide, these are like some instructions are coming from there, and these are just some manifestation of the mind? How can we distinguish, yeah, between reality and...
So that's a question that's asked quite regularly, because, you know, sometimes people have some very funky dreams, you know, and then they can imagine, oh, well, oh, Krishna told me to go and buy all the ice cream, you know, or, you know, or but then we have a checking and balance system. So then, like, whenever you have any so-called, you know, dream like that, you know, where you know some divine personality is coming to your dream and they're instructing you something, then it's really auspicious, it's fantastic. But then it's always good to go and check it with either your spiritual master or some, you know, advanced Vaishnavas, and then make sure that actually it's valid. You know? So it's just like any shiny thing, like it looks like gold, doesn't mean it's gold. You know, so then there's a, you know, if you take it to a jeweler or you do some test to make sure it's gold, then it's fine. Or even like, even counterfeit currency, sometimes it looks like the real thing, but an expert can tell you the difference. Hari Hari Arun Prabhu.
Hari Shambhu, thank you for the class. My question is regarding, can you elaborate a bit more on the relationship when a devotee is worshipping the deities? Does he also have different moods, like Vatsalya or Sakha? Anything you know about this?
Yeah, so each one of us, we have our eternal constitutional position, and it's in one of the five rasas, you know. Either, you know, Shantya, Dasya, Vatsalya, Sakya, or Madhurya, you know. So I think in the beginning, it's maybe not a good idea to jump and you know, get ahead of yourself. If we follow the process that's been given by the acharyas, by chanting the holy name and following the regulative principles, serving and following the nine processes of bhakti, then eventually whatever is our natural position, that will come. It will come. It's not something that can be forced. You know? There was one gentleman I was speaking to, and he said, "Oh, he wants to higher rasas. You know, all this, you know, just chanting and just, you know, reading Bhagavad Gita." He said, "Oh, this is for beginners." You know, he said he wants, you know, Siddha Pranali and all kind of, you know, he wants to take up his swaroop, you know, and he wants to practice being a peacock or something. You know? So then I said to him, I said, you know, you have a bona fide spiritual master, you know, and you have the process, and everything's been given to you, you know, all the scriptures are there. So you're trying to go for the esoterics, you know. I said, if you actually do your regulated sadhana practices, then eventually, then the higher ecstasies, it will naturally come, you know. But if you try to jump to it, then you will actually become a sahaja, you know. Hari, Sam, or who's next? Okay, Nishkinshan.
Thank you, Prabhu. I'll be quick. Yeah, no, just
that's what you always say.
Yeah. No. Just regarding what the Antaranga Prabhu's question about the dreams. Obviously, because Bhaktivedanta Maharaj did some research on it as well in Spiritual Warrior books, and he mentioned that when you practice spiritual life, if you have, like, you know, bad dreams or whatever, often it's your karma getting. You know, not necessarily have to physically go through the karma.
Yeah.
The karma actually can sometimes...
You burn it off in the dreams.
Burn up through the dreams as well, yeah. But also, like you said, oftentimes it is our mental concoctions. But when it comes to, like, advanced devotees, because you mentioned Shivaram Maharaj, obviously when one is very intensely practicing spiritual life for many, many years, and they're very advanced, and, you know, they're kind of coming out of the modes of nature and everything, then in their cases, we can take those dreams seriously, because... they're on that level where they're communicating with God through, you know, different means, through the scriptures as well as through dreams. But for, you know, for regular sadhakas, yeah, like you said, you know, it's always good to verify these things.
Yeah, like Prabhupada says, he said, if he sees gold and he sees a mountain at night, he might dream of a golden mountain, you know. But it may be a figment of his imagination. So, like, even advanced devotees, like Shiv Ram Maharaj and others, even things that, you know, that the Lord interacts with them in different ways, they also have their close friends, you know, like, you know, Indradyumna Maharaj or, Bibi Govinda Swami and things. Then they discuss intimate things. It's not just, oh, I'm on my own, you know. And I'm going to, it's me and Krishna. You know? Sampru? Or Sham?
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. I was just wondering, you're talking that we shouldn't jump ahead to these esoteric things, and sometimes we find that some of these bhajans that we sing, for example, Radha Krishna Pranamo, are quite esoteric. So is it best to just stick with Hare Krishna, or can we also sing these?
Yeah, so it depends on your mood, isn't it? So here, this is Narottam Das Thakur who's singing that. And it's good to hear, it says that by the six Goswamis, when you hear the songs about Govinda, they actually purify the conditioned soul of material contamination. So it depends what your mood is, you know. So if your mood is actually to be in the line of those acharyas that are putting this and following their direction, fine. Otherwise, if you want to push them aside and it's me and Radha and Krishna, then it's a little dangerous. Yeah, I've got a new name for, a new thing for Cyrus, because he's into herbs, right? Everyone knows he's so I said to him the other day, I said, look, you know, if you ever get a business going, you get a card, you can say he's a herbalist and a haribolist. The mic is off.
Yeah, deity worship, since you're talking so much about that. My first experience coming to this temple is my Shiksha Guru took me here, and I was a bit apprehensive because...
Mother Yashashwani, is it?
Yes, yeah. Yes. So I'm from a Christian tradition, as you know. And so we don't look at these deities. We think, you know, we don't appreciate them because we think they think that they're like idolatry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how
idol
it is.
Worship.
Idol worship, yes. So so that was my last stronghold to break, actually facing the deities. I already accepted the philosophy. I think it's great. Everything is good. Devotees are nice, love them. When I got on my way here, I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to get over this? Because it's something that is ingrained in you. And then when I walked in, I came in and I walked in a little bit apprehensive. And then I took one look and all my doubts were dispelled.
Haribo!
And then I turned to Yashwini. I said, they're smiling. I could see that. I'm thinking, well, they're not just marbles or stones or something. It's alive and energetic. And and from then on, I'm okay with deities, okay? So
actually, many people come, guests come first time. I've been here and I've been like explaining it. And then sometimes they just cry or they just feel so emotional. And they don't know why, you know. There's like, there's something here, you know, Krishna's here. And, you know, when people say idol worship, we're doing idol worship. In my mind, idol worship is, you know, Nelson's column, you know, up there. Nelson stuck up there with all the pigeons, you know, doing their number on his head, you know. Like that. That's idol worship, you know. And this is deity worship, you know. There's a difference. Okay, so I'll just stop there. I'll just read one last verse, and then that's it, because I think Sutapa will kick me out soon if we have gone too long. So, okay. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 1, text 11. Etan nirvidimana nam echatam akato bhayam yoginam nipaninam harinam anukirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all. including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. And this is Shukadev Goswami in his instructing Maharaj Parikshit. So that's a beautiful verse. So the constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities. You know? So that is our progress that will bring all success. You know? So Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam ki, Krishnadas Kaviraj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnav Sangha Vaishnav Seva ki, Sri Harinam Prabhu ki, Nithai Gaur Premanandi.